Vanguard is working hard to balance opportunity and risk for investors in this time of volatile yields. We know financial advisors are working hard to do the same. Visit vanguard.com/fixed income today. Important information. All investing is subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. Bond funds are subject to the risk that an issuer will fail to make payments on time and that bond prices will decline because of rising interest rates or negative perceptions of an issuer's ability to make payments. Vanguard Marketing Corporation, distributor.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Ich warte seit Wochen auf diesen Tag und tanz vor Freude über den Asphalt, als wär's ein Rhythmus, als gäb's ein Lied, das mich immer weiter durch die Straßen zieht. Komm dir entgegen.
Hallo und welcome to Gegenpressing, the Bundesliga Podcast. I'm Manu Feit, hier ist Stefan Michankowski. And Stefan, how's it going?
Yeah, doing very well. I wonder if we should let our listeners know that we are up against the clock today.
Yes, we
for
are.
For more ways than one. It's not just a busy week because of the deadline day or anything else, but quite literally racing against time simply to record the show.
Yeah, the context here, BC Hydro and their infinite wisdom decided that they want to spend Monday replacing a power pole just down the road from where I live, which means the power will be out in 42 minutes. that also means that we're going to keep a nice and tight ship. This is just going to be a quick review show of what happened this match day. So, yes, I'm sorry. I apologize in advance. If you have any complaints about the shortness of this podcast, there will be an email link to BC Hydro in the show notes, and you can email them and complain just like I did. It helped nothing at all. They're still going to cut off my power. Anyways, let's get started.
The public campaign starts now with
the public campaign
random assortment of German football fans from around the world.
Poor BC Hydro. Well, it's a crowned or grown corporation, so I'm pretty sure it's just gonna go into some email folder somewhere that's never gonna be opened. So, yeah. I'm pretty sure that's where my emails went, but it is what it is. Nothing we can do about it. Let's jump into this podcast right after this break. It's playoff time, and the road to Vegas is set with San Francisco facing the Kansas City Chiefs. BetOnline is your number one source for playoff football odds, stats, trends, and lines, with everything from point spreads to hundreds of player performance props. Head to BetOnline today to stay updated on all the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Stefan, as I said, this is going to be really, really quick roundup show. And we wanted to actually start with Stuttgart against Leipzig. Now, I was very impressed by the Stuttgart performance. And I think before we talk about Leipzig and all their issues, Stuttgart haven't won a game without Serhou Guirassy this season. They put that to bed. Dennis Undav coming out with a big, big performance. But, you know, you look through this entire Stuttgart side, I just thought that might have actually been their best performance this season yet.
Yeah, it was a really interesting match just because, as you said, it's one of those matches where you try to struggle to see whether it was down to one team being particularly outstanding or one team being particularly poor. And yeah, I completely agree with you. Going into the match, as we talked about the previous show, I really expected Leipzig to kind of really exercise some demons in terms of, you know, the last couple of games that they've played in, particularly that Leverkusen game where I felt like they did just about everything right except win the match. But instead, we got a Leipzig performance that was just lacking in so many things, and a huge part of that was obviously down to Xavi Simons not being on the pitch. Obviously, like, the way that Stuttgart attacked was incredibly impressive, but, you know, I think you could kind of put a lot of it down to just, as you said, like, it just felt like such a good Stuttgart performance on the whole. And I was particularly impressed with, like, that midfield from Stuttgart in terms of, you know, for example, Angelo Stiller, who rolled about this season, and the way that he's just kind of going from strength to strength to strength in that Stuttgart team under Hoeneß. And it felt to me a lot like, you know, not only were Leipzig missing Xavi Simons in that team to kind of create chances, but that kind of midfield of Seval and Schlager just did not look equipped to handle this very dynamic Stuttgart side. And I'd argue, I mean, we did argue about this on the chat and on the Bundesliga chat that we have with subscribers the weekend about the nature of that first goal and the handball, which, look, doesn't really matter, to be perfectly honest with you, because they won the game so emphatically in the end. But yeah, I mean, going in at half time, if I'm not mistaken, like, Leipzig had only kind of amassed an XG of 0.38 to Stuttgart's 1.47. And it was even worse in the second half. They got 0.11. And, you know, this has been a really kind of daunting start to the year for Leipzig. I know we'd say we talk about Stuttgart here, and I've just said myself talking about Leipzig, but I think it just kind of did a good job of showing the differences between these two teams right now. And Stuttgart look like a team who, they look like a team who are playing for each other. We talked about this as well. One of the things I've been most impressed with under Hoeneß is the way that this whole team as a whole is just coming together. You got Nubel, who, look, was obviously very good before he moved to Stuttgart, but probably had to prove himself to the extent in the Bundesliga this year. You know, there's kind of a bit of a cloud hanging over the way he left Bayern. Okay, he went to France and kind of earned his stripes, but it's a different thing entirely to come to Germany, in my opinion, to do it. Zagadou in the heart of that defence, another player who had to go away from where he was previously and prove himself at Stuttgart. Stiller, young player at Bayern Munich, who obviously Hoeneß knows very well, and has gone from strength to strength. And then obviously Fulrich as well, actually, is a good example. But the main one, obviously, it's Undav, who you've obviously been singing his praises all season long. And that first goal he scored, the one from outside the box, is just like the epitome of a striker full of confidence, because no one has that shot unless they're just kind of brimming with self-confidence and knowing, I can score anything right now. And that's exactly what he did. And yeah, it felt like one team who knew exactly what they were doing, knew how to play football and had beliefs in themselves, and another team who admittedly were missing a few key players but just completely crumbled against a good Stuttgart team.
Yeah, there's, I mean, a few things that you pointed out there. I think Stuttgart tactically looked very, very strong. And I have some thoughts on Leipzig in a moment here, so bear with me. But I thought the way Undav, you know, led that line was fantastic. Fürich Leveling was another one which really stood out for me, right? He scores a goal as well. That midfield center with Stiller, and I always struggle with this name, so I'm going to just read it. Milo was this time. And I thought they looked just so very compact. That 3-4-3 also worked really well for them in this match in particular. I'm pretty certain now that Dennis Undav is going to be the striker that will lead Germany at Euro 2024. I know there's another German striker who scored a hat-trick this weekend in Niklas Füllkrug, but I just think that he is more dynamic He's more of a complete forward, and I just think that the way he scores and the rate that he scores on goals, I wouldn't even be surprised if he finishes the season with more goals than Guirassy, to be honest with you, Stefan. So, you know, it's just, I think they needed a couple games to shake off the rot. And they did that. And I think they did it with, in a way that also kind of really speaks, in my opinion, for Sebastian Hoeneß and the work he's done, right? Because he was really outspoken after last match day when they lost, and how this is on him and how he has to now work and kind of readjust his team and quickly get them out of the situation. And then he does it. I mean, that's the thing that really impressed me. I think one of our plans this week is to have a bonus podcast on Javi Alonso, and obviously big news out of Liverpool and what's going on with Jurgen Klopp. And it's going to be, of course, interesting what that will do with Javi Alonso. And there is, I'm getting to a point here, so wait for a second. I think Sebastian Hoeneß, if I was Leverkusen, then I would be worried about losing Javi Alonso to Liverpool. Sebastian Hoeneß would be the guy I would go after, Stefan.
Yeah. I feel like we're crushing Stuttgart's dreams before they've even really got going yet.
Sorry.
No, absolutely. Yeah, it's a fair shout. I actually had another thought I wanted to bring up there, which I actually wanted to go back on Angelo Stiller, actually, because to talk about another kind of team entirely, which was Germany. But I'll talk about that in a moment. But yeah, look, there's been so much talk about Hoeneß, and people are already beginning to kind of compare him or talk about, you know, is he going to go to Bayern, you know, the kind of family name and stuff, the family business, if you will. And obviously what will happen with Thomas Tuchel this summer. I've actually got my newsletter this week is actually on which Bundesliga head coaches are overperforming and underperforming this season.
Oh, interesting.
And I've kind of dove really into the stats. I've kind of got one kind of model for more or less like a power rankings, but I'll let subscribers have a look at that when it comes out. But yeah, Hoeneß is obviously doing very well in that. And I think I'd be really interested to see what happens with him. I'm really, really hoping he stays at Stuttgart. I'm really hoping his team stays together, because it's not really a case, in my opinion, of this team being full of, you know, young players who just happen to be the right place at the right time. It's full of a squad in general that are doing particularly well. You know, for example, you can even kind of narrow in on someone like Anton, the central defender, who is like one of the leading players in the division for, you know, interceptions, you know, so... or Mittelstadt, who's also kind of doing really well on that left side. But the player that I keep coming back to when I look at Stuttgart is Angelo Stiller. And, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned Undav as a kind of potential German international this summer. And I wonder when we can start making the call for Angelo Stiller, because...
I have, you know, in my newsletter a few months ago, remember?
Yeah, well, yeah, of course, yeah. You'll make the case, but I don't mean us literally, because we it's not up to us to make that call, but I mean like the kind of general groundswell for interest in him, because if you look at the way he's played this season, you know, he's not exactly an attacking midfielder, but he's that kind of perfect kind of number six player in terms of the way he makes great forward passes. He's won the best league for the accuracy of his forward passes. Got really decent key pass stats as well. Really good defensive stats. And actually, if you kind of line him up alongside Joshua Kimmich this season in terms of what both players are good at this year, he's not actually too dissimilar from the way he plays alongside... not too dissimilar to the way Kimmich rather plays at Bayern this season, except maybe... Well, in fact, there's no maybe about it. He is doing more defensive work than Kimmich just because of the nature of those two teams. So, you know, if Bayern looking for number six... a holding midfielder, someone like that. You know, look, I'm obviously going to be a bit ahead of myself here, but if everyone's kind of talking up Unda for Germany, I feel like Angelo Stiller should be in that conversation as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because there's obviously a lot of talk right now about Toni Kroos potentially coming back. And Toni Kroos is Toni Kroos. I mean, I looked at his numbers, and it's not just in La Liga. Across all top five leagues, he leads pretty much any category you want to lead as a midfielder. And if he's available, you have to bring him back. But if you can bring Angelo Stiller in and maybe learn from someone like Kroos, got to do it. 100%, you got to do it. So yeah, it's definitely a really interesting one to follow. And you know, you mentioned Bayern Munich here and their midfield. I mean, they have Alexander Pavlovic. That's probably the most positive story out of this Bayern Munich game, Stefan. Because I think that they were really lucky to win this game. Neuer saves a penalty that he caused. Then he concedes a penalty, right? And I think that Augsburg shot themselves a little bit in the foot here by conceding three times. This is a game that had a draw written all over it. And, you know, somehow Bayern got really, really lucky that it didn't end up to be a draw. VAR helped them twice, once to take a goal away from Augsburg and once to give them a goal. I had issues with the Harry Kane goal because I don't think it was conclusive that the ball came from an Augsburg player. And what did we learn? What's the rule about VAR? It has to be clear and obvious. I didn't think that was clear and obvious. And if the pictures from TV don't give you a conclusive answer, the call on the field should be standing. It is what it is, you know. We were going to have long debates about VAR, I think, for the rest of the season, but not at all a convincing Bayern performance. Everywhere across the field, except for the one kid, Alexander Pavlovic, 19 years old, he's a holding number six. You know, that kid may save Bayern Munich 70 million euros in the transfer market, Stefan.
Yeah, that'd be quite something, wouldn't it? He's done well every time he's came on so far this season. I mean, it's only been a handful of performances, but he's been absolutely fine so far. You're absolutely right. He did tremendously well in this game in a match that Bayern really huffed and puffed in, to be perfectly honest with you. Even that first Augsburg goal, like the volley, which was obviously ruled offside, like it just felt like... The thing that I found really interesting was that Augsburg just didn't really seem to have any fear of Bayern Munich whatsoever, which, you know, is quite a new thing, really, to be perfectly honest with you. But, yeah, I don't know. Bayern have kind of been a really kind of tricky one recently in terms of the performances. They haven't been exactly great. I thought it was quite telling that, you know, in one of the games this weekend, the linesman literally had to go off with a concussion and be replaced with a third division goalkeeper. And that wasn't the most farcical thing about refereeing in the Bundesliga this weekend, because I completely agree with you. Some of the calls in this game were baffling, to be honest with you. And, you know, I don't want to kind of start sounding like a conspiracy theorist or anything like that, because I really don't buy anything like that. The only thing I would say is that I definitely feel like at times it feels like Bayern games are under more scrutiny by VAR. And by that, I mean, you're right, there are calls that happen in Bayern games that maybe wouldn't get a second look in. For example, that Leverkusen game, which we're going to talk about, I thought there were some calls in the last kind of 15, 20 minutes that the referee just brushed off and just kind of said, play on. And I understand that technically and literally, you know, VAR is at a discrepancy of the referee on the day. He chooses how much or how little of it he wants in these games. But
that, I have an issue with that too.
Well, yeah, exactly. And as you say, as you've said on this podcast a number of times, I think it's a great point. We're getting to this point now where referees don't actually want to do any refereeing. They just want to kind of outsource it all to the guys in the bunker in Cologne. And I mean, I don't think we actually... I think we did talk about it at the time. When I went on that media trip for Leverkusen late last year, we did go to the bunker in Cologne. It's a really impressive place and really impressive kind of setup and technology. And everyone there knows what they're doing. They're all smart guys and they're all well-meaning and things like that. But, and we did ask them, like, you know, are there referees that, you know, use VR, the referees that don't? He's like, yeah, we have some referees who are constantly talking to us. And we have some who'll say, like, before kickoff, like, look, I'm not listening to anything you guys say. You know, it's just, and it just comes down to their own personal style of refereeing. And, you know, and I mean, I'm sure if Chris Williams was here, he would say that's how it should be, because at the end of the day, the rules of football are there to be interpreted by the referee on the day and how he interprets it. And I guess a referee should be able to decide how much or how little, how much or how little VAR they use in these games. But I do wonder if the referees are kind of in each Bayern Munich game, there's maybe the stakes are higher because they've got far larger support than any other club in the country. you can you know, times that by 10 when you go to a global scale. Every Bayern game's on television, and the fact that, you know, referees in Germany do routinely come out and aren't forced to explain themselves, but are often obliged to go on, you know, Doppelpass or whatever to explain what they did. So if that referee's got the big Bayern game that weekend, maybe they feel an obligation to be like, right, I need to use all the tools that are available to me. As opposed to whether if you're covering, you know, Bochum versus Heidenheim, then maybe you don't have to rely on, maybe you don't have to have a second or third look at every single call. But that's just my two cents. I know Bayern fans would be probably kind of chewing wasps right now, or whatever the expression is, and rolling their eyes at what I'm saying here. But that game at the weekend struck me as quite peculiar, to be perfectly honest with you. And I say that knowing that Augsburg are the ones who got the penalty at the end of the day. So
who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie, and fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Vanguard is working hard to balance opportunity and risk for investors in this time of volatile yields. We know financial advisors are working hard to do the same. Visit vanguard.com/fixed income today. Important information. All investing is subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. Bond funds are subject to the risk that an issuer will fail to make payments on time and that bond prices will decline because of rising interest rates or negative perceptions of an issuer's ability to make payments. Vanguard Marketing Corporation, distributor.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium-iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
It's playoff time, and the road to Vegas is set with San Francisco facing the Kansas City Chiefs. BetOnline is your number one source for playoff football odds, stats, trends, and lines, with everything from point spreads to hundreds of player performance props. Head to BetOnline today to stay updated on all the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. And it goes both ways. I would actually say it would go both ways, right? I mean, this can go in Bayern's favor, but it's also documented that it's gone against them for the same reasons. And I think you're quite right that their games are under more scrutiny and it has worked in their favor and it has worked against them. And I think on balance, it's probably pretty even. But, you know, I can just go by, I don't use X or Twitter or Threads or any of those social medias doing match days anymore because I find it quite tiring. I use our Substack chat, which is absolutely exploded and is for subscribers only, right? And we had over 500 comments over this match day, which is a new record, by the way. And Bayern fans were actually quite critical of all the VAR decisions, including the ones that went against them. They did point out, and we have lots of Bayern fans in this chat, they did also say, wait, this isn't conclusive. What, the Harry Kane goal isn't conclusive, right? So in fairness, the ones that I interact with have voiced a lot of the same criticism that we have, right? And there just seems to be a tiredness of it because it isn't coherent. And as you said, referees have their own styles, which is a problem, and we're never going to get it to have it go away. I think too, and this is, you know, maybe to pick up on the non-VAR things, what really struck me about this game too, it kind of the way it was all inconsistent also really fitted Bayern Munich's game, because it was so inconsistent across the board. And yes, they have addressed their right back issue in Sacha Boy, who's arrived, right? And looks like a really good signing, and a little bit more of a long-term signing than the ones that have been previously been in the rumor mills. Kieran Trippier was obviously the one that they decided not to go for, and instead they signed a 23-year-old right back, right, with lots of upside, which I think is a smart move. But it made me think that this team remains a work in progress, and although their points total is actually quite impressive, I find it also interesting that teams like Augsburg now go at them and say, hey, we can get something here. And I feel like the entire mood in the league has changed when it comes to playing Bayern Munich. It's no longer a game that you just chalk off as a loss.
Yeah, and it's for the better for the league in that regard. And, yeah, you know, Bayern Munich fans will obviously take issue with that, because it'll be a black mark against Tuchel's record. I think you can maybe point some of that to the way that Bayern even play under Tuchel. You know, they're not fast, they're not dynamic, they're not possession-based as they have been under maybe Pep Guardiola. They're not, you know, ruthless as they were maybe under Hansi Flick. They just kind of linger a lot on the ball. They don't do a huge amount off and on it. There's a lot of players in that team who just are not playing particularly well. It's quite interesting to see Alfonso Davies step up with a right-footed goal from outside the box, because he's obviously a player who we've been talking about a lot recently. But yeah, you can go through that whole team. Obviously, Kingsley Coman as well, picking up a big injury, which we haven't even talked about. So yeah, there's a lot of issues in that team. And, you know, we'll obviously touch a bit more on the transfer roundup show this week, but or maybe we won't actually if we do focus on something else. But we'll cover it at some point. But it is interesting that they've managed to find a gap, fill a gap rather, with Sacha Boey coming in the right back, and what that can do for midfield if Konrad Laimer comes into the centre midfield position. Because I do still kind of feel like, you know, obviously Pavlovic played that role at the weekend, but it feels to me like Tuchel's still kind of scrambling and trying to find how to get that to click, because it doesn't feel like Bayern will actually click into gear until they fix that midfield.
I got a really cryptic text when I kept asking around about Alfonso Davies and his new Bayern contract.
Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of it.
Smoke and mirrors.
I guess we'll see. I think it sounds like there's something coming around soon, one way or another. But for Bayern's fortune, Stefan, Leverkusen did drop points. I think the question here is, how did they drop points? How did you string together 948 passes and have an XG of, what was it, 2.64 versus 0.2? I don't know where Gladbach's 0.2 XG comes from. That's actually more of a miracle to me than how Leverkusen did not score over 2.64 XG. You quite rightfully called it already with the... there was a couple penalties, I think, that Leverkusen should have gotten there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't have the highlights open in front of me, but there was one in particular that I thought was quite harsh. But, I mean, you know... This was bound to happen. You know, I just kind of feel like I don't really want to take anything away from Gladbach in this regard, and suggesting that this could chalk this up to bad refereeing, because I thought Gladbach were outstanding. I was doing some Indian TV work this today, actually, and on their kind of Bundesliga review show, and they asked me who my team of the weekend was, and I actually picked Gladbach, because I said they've managed to do what Leipzig, Augsburg, I think, before them, Bayern, maybe Dortmund, maybe it's Frankfurt I'm thinking of.
Actually think the Dortmund game was really similar.
Yeah. They've managed to do what all these teams couldn't do, and that was stop Leverkusen from scoring that late, all-important goal. And, you know, a lot of that came down to some really heroic defending. A lot of it came down to some heroic goalkeeping. But what I also think is quite telling is that despite all that effort, Patrick Schick didn't manage to log a single shot on target in this game. And when I think to the best chances in this match, I think of that Frimpong one-on-one when he's kind of a little too far out to the left, tries to score with his left foot, and he doesn't. Yeah. Grimaldo had an outstanding chance, but he took an extra touch, and he kind of knocked it wide somehow. Frimpong had a second one as well, actually, where he also took an extra touch in Neuhaus with an incredible kind of chasing him down the pitch, managed to get him to block the shot. And look, this is what we kind of talked about in terms of on the transfer roundup show last week, actually, when we looked at the new striker who's joined, Iglesias, from Betis, yeah, on loan. And, you know, we kind of discussed what he brings to this team. And the things he can offer is that he's a goal scorer, a penalty box striker, but he can also play, he can also drop deep and play in that kind of number 10 position, or maybe not number 10, but can certainly play off other players. And it felt to me a lot like Leverkusen were missing that, because they had, you know, they had Hoffman there, they had Amiri there, they had Xhaka there. It felt to me like they had a lot of kind of good, decent kind of Bundesliga players, but not anyone with maybe the kind of technical ability to kind of just ping a shot from 20 yards out. Of course, they had Florian Wirtz. Now, he's one of the best in the league, don't get me wrong, but he can't do everything on his own. And if I'm being perfectly honest with you, as much as I really like Hoffman, I think he's been a great, great player, I do feel like sometimes he just kind of slots into this kind of almost like Kevin Grosskreutz role for Leverkusen, where he does a lot of running and he's happy to do a lot of tracking back. He'll chase people down. He'll counter press. And it feels like he almost forgets that he's an outstanding, technically gifted winger at times. And he just kind of cedes all that responsibility to someone like Florian Wirtz. When halftime I was watching this game, I was like, Hoffman, just hit a shot. Just do something that we all know you can do. You've been doing it for 10 years for Gladbach with your eyes shut. Why can't you do something for this Leverkusen team? So, I don't know. It felt very much like in the way that Leipzig missed Xavi Simons in their game. It felt a lot like Leverkusen were just kind of going through the motions and passing it out to Wirtz and say, right, you do something and score. It actually reminds me of a guy I went to university with. I used to play, used to share a flat with him, and he used to play five-a-sides every week with these old guys, and he was like the youngest guy in the team by like 15, 20 years. And he used to laugh because one of the old boys would just pass him the ball from their own goal line and he'd go, okay. And he would just say, okay, go score now. It'd just be like, right, go run by three people and score. You know, I've done my part. I've gave you the ball. You go do the rest. And I don't think Leverkusen are quite as bad as Leipzig are with Xavi Simons in that regard. But in this game, it felt like they were just over-reliant on him. And, you know, they didn't score the goal. It's not the end of the world. They're still unbeaten. This was always bound to happen. And, you know, everyone's like, oh, well, you know, it's down to 2 points now. And Bayern would just go on and be Bayern. But I just feel like as much as Leverkusen dropped points in this game, I still feel like Bayern are perfectly capable of dropping points too. So I wouldn't rule out the title race just yet.
No, I mean, I think it's wishful thinking from Bayern fans to think that this is going to be the big drop off from Leverkusen. You know, because at the end of the day, they still got a point here and they absolutely dominated this match. And if you play this game 10 times, Leverkusen will win it 9 times, right? And also, Bayern have Gladbach next, so I wouldn't be laughing too much yet. you know, there's a good chance that we're going to see this very same match pan out the very same way in a week from now. So I wouldn't be quite that optimistic yet. I do think too, and I had this brought up by someone on Twitter when I posted the Borja Iglesias done deal text for Forbes, where I wrote about some of the things that you said, right? That Leverkusen need a box striker, someone who can be there for them and create chances for the players around. And this person said, well, they had plenty of chances. And I'm like, that's correct, but from breakaways, right? The Frimpong is the one that was a breakaway. And I think the other two chances that they had, they were also from breakaways. They weren't actually able to create much from their in-box play, you know, like, which is something that they were able to do when Boniface was there. And that is again, something that I mentioned last week on the show. At the end of the day, the way you score goals and you score goals late is by having more people in the box and playing the ball in the box quickly. And when you look at Boniface, for example, and the I think he's like third or fourth in the league with touches in the penalty box per 90 minutes, that is what is missing. And that is why they're signing Borja Iglesias. It's not that they didn't have chances in this game. It's that they need to increase the chances in the penalty box. And that's, you know, why they obviously signed a new number nine. And I think you look at this match in particular, that's maybe what has been lacking a little bit. And Schick is a great striker, but he is someone who is, I think, best off if he plays with someone else who can do that kind of work for him. And I think that's why they identified and brought in a new player. And obviously, you know, again, I think this was actually a really good performance, but Kicker called this a perfect game without a perfect result. And I think that describes this Leverkusen game perfectly, Stefan.
Yeah, it does. And look, we've talked a lot about them so far this season and how they always stick to the same game plan and how they always rely on their conviction and their ability to put the ball in the back of the net. And, you know, there's also something to be said for the fact that they are missing more or less their entire back line right now. Obviously, Kosunu's out, Jonathan Taz out, Tabsoba's out. Taz is suspended, there too, obviously, international break. And it might seem odd to kind of bring up central defenders when you're talking about a team's inability to score goals, but those three players are so crucial to that team because they are the ones who set up every single pass. They're the ones who are standing on the halfway line and deciding where the ball goes, how it gets there, how accurate the passes are. And, you know, of course, you know, they've obviously got some great players who can step in there. Hincapie's been one who's been heavily linked. Stanisic is a young, exciting player. Very good technically as well. And obviously Robert Andrić's a bit of a club legend these days at Leverkusen. But all three of them are, you know, inexperienced in terms of this season and the way that this team has been kind of put together and the way that this team has had a chemistry with those other three central defenders, which... At times, it just kind of felt like there was kind of maybe something missing there. Not to mention Palacios, who obviously is the guy who stepped up and scored the winner against Augsburg a few weeks ago. You know, so I know maybe it sounds like we're kind of picking or grasping at straws here, or, you know, maybe just kind of looking for issues that weren't really there. Of course, Hincapie's a good player. Of course, Stanisic's a good player. Of course, Amir's a good player. But the way that this team is so built around doing the same thing over and over again to perfection, if you bring in a whole back, three defenders there whose passing accuracy goes from 98% down to like 92%, that can completely change, you know, how a team attacks, and or not even just how accurate their passes are, but what type of passes they make, whether they switch it quickly enough, or whether they make the pass with enough power behind it so that, you know, that Patrick Schick can take time and get the ball. So all those things, which are just inevitable, really, that they're going to chip away at a team's ability to score goals. But yeah, like I said, I'm not quite worried about Leverkusen just yet. But they'll definitely be want to see how good this new striker is and whether he can help them in that regard.
Yeah, and also news today that Kosunu and Tabsoba will be back in time for the Bayern Munich game from the Africa Cup, right? So I think this will also help this Leverkusen team. Stefan, we are up against the clock, or up against BC Hydro taking away my power. So I'm going to wrap this up. This podcast is not brought to you by BC Hydro, but by Bet Online. Check out the odds there. And we'll be back later this week with more content. And until then, auf Wiedersehen.
At Vanguard, you're more than just an investor. You're an owner. That means your priorities are Vanguard's too. So whether you're planning for retirement or trying to save up for your next big adventure, Vanguard will work alongside you to set personalized investment goals. That's the value of ownership. All investing is subject to risk. Vanguard is owned by its funds, which are owned by Vanguard's fund shareholder clients. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact, with semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch. It's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick scented oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.